ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 14 ब्रह्मास प्रेयर्स टू लॉर्ड कृष्ण टेक्स्ट 45। उचुश्च सुहृदः कृष्णं स्वागतं ते तिरंहसा नायकोऽपि अभोजि कवला एहितः साधु भुज्यताम्। ट्रांसलेशन। The cowherd boyfriends said to Lord Krishna, "You have returned so quickly. We have not eaten even one morsel in your absence. Please come here and take your meal without distraction." Purport. The words "su agatam te iti ramhasa" indicate that the cowherd boys were congratulating Lord Krishna for having brought the calves back so quickly from the forest. Now, Lord Krishna's beloved friends urged him to sit down properly and eat to his full satisfaction. According to Srila Prabhupada's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cowherd boyfriends felt quite jubilant and were eager to eat with their friend, with their dear friend Krishna. Hare Krishna. So this with this chapter, this pastime is closing, and these are the some of the closing remarks Srila Sukadeva Goswami gives in this verses of this chapter. So here, when Krishna returns back to his friends, he comes as the same person who left to bring the calves back. And it doesn't indicate at all that something has serious happened. And they had no clue what happened. 1 year have already passed. And you can see how Lord Krishna is kind of pretending that he is ordinary and simple. In this world, we see, if we do something little magnificent, we try to show it to the people and try to claim, you know, "I have done this, I have done that." So many times, we just little bit we do and we want to, let's say, beating your own drums and announcing that how great we are for some small achievements. So for something done very little, we want to get credit that we deserve. Want to get more credit than we deserve. But on the other hand, we see Lord Krishna, although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's so great, but in his behavior, especially with his devotees, with his associates, he never shows that he is so great. So, this is how, you know, even we can learn from this. While living with family members, like devotees, family, community, outside maybe doing very great things, but in a close family circle, we should remain humble and simple. And in this way, we can actually gain the love of the near ones, and relationship becomes stronger. So Krishna, although he is so great and so fantastic, he has humbled Lord Brahma, who just paid him obeisances and offered prayers. But with his friends, he is smiling and eating and doing all these things. And from this we can learn that how this sowing of business in this world is actually a cause of a lot of miseries. Because if you sow, like once His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj was saying, it's like association, Sankat Sanjayate Kama. If you speak proudly to someone, that you are great, then that person will start thinking how great he is in another way. Suppose I say, I am a great cook, then another may say, I am a, you know, great speaker, or this or that, so many things, or great singer, great musician. People may think like that, okay, I am not this, but I am this. So pride induces pride in others. And similarly, humility will induce humility, and real feelings will actually can be exchanged when you are humble. So here Krishna returns, and the friends of Krishna accept him very nicely and congratulating him that you have done so fast, so quick. Srila Vaishnava Chakrapath Thakur actually explains, even they could put their food into their mouth, halfway Krishna returned. And they say, we actually haven't eaten anything, and you have returned, very nice, you come, sit with us. That quickly Krishna returned. And like last time I was speaking about relativity of time, and the conclusion was very difficult to understand what is time. Here also we see, in Krishna's pastime, what the scientists took for so many centuries to understand little bit, it's in his pastime playmates, it is just happening naturally. Brahma coming and going. And Brahma did not know actually what happened. He just went, stole the cows and calves, went and came back. When he came back, he saw Krishna is playing as usual. Then he got bewildered. Then Krishna saw the Vishnu forms. Then again withdrew it. And then Brahma actually saw how Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And he started offering prayers. So this chapter is prayers offered by Lord Brahma. And this is Krishna's personality, very difficult to understand. It is said in Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter, Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam evam uveti tattvatah. Taktva deham punarjanma naiti mamaiti sorjuna. That one who knows my transcendental nature of my birth and activities in tattva, or in truth, or in reality, in actuality, he will not take birth anymore in this world, in this place of birth and death. He will overcome janma murtyu. So the whole word that we like we can zoom in is that tattvatah. Otherwise everybody knows. And Prabhupada says in many places in the purport that it is not easy to understand how Krishna appeared to Yashoda, Devaki and Vasudev with four hands, then again became two hands, then he went to Braj and did so much of pastimes. It is very difficult to understand. And that Krishna speaks in fourth chapter, then all the way, you know, then he speaks about karma, jnana, yoga, that Ashtanga yoga. And finally speaks about himself from seventh chapter, about his personality, about his glories, introducing himself basically, and encouraging bhakti, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th chapter. And 9th chapter, he ends, man manabhava mad bhakto, become my devotee. Many things he speaks, but in the 11th chapter, Arjuna requests Krishna to show the universal form, and Krishna manifests that form to him out of his friendship, out of his mercy, out of his care for Arjuna, he manifests that. And in the end, Arjuna gets very fearful. There also he saw this kala feature of Lord. That kala feature, the time feature is that he is devouring everything. Of course, in this pastime also, before this pastime happens, Krishna actually kills Aghasur. It's like a snake. It's also called kala sarpa. It devours everything. So in that feature, when Arjuna saw that everything happening, he got really scared. And he says, Krishna, please wind up this form. So mere four-handed form. And Krishna shows four-handed form, then again, two-handed form. Then Krishna says, it's very difficult to see what you are seeing now, this 200 form. Actually, when he displayed the universal form, all the demigods could also see it, because Arjuna required some divine vision. So Krishna, what's the divine vision? That daiva vision. Whereas the demigods by nature have that vision, so they could see it. So demigods could see the universal form, but Krishna says, like Prabhupada says in the purport, that the demigods descended to the prison house to offer worship to the womb of Devaki, where Krishna was residing. They're hankering to see this form. But again, when Krishna was speaking to this to Arjuna, he says, actually not by study of Vedas, not by study of, or not by austerity, not by charity, one can see as you are seeing me. Then he says that very famous verse. He says, what is that verse? Anybody? No, that 11th chapter, last verse. I just skipped from my mind. It's the previous verse. Previous of Mat Karma. Bhaktiyatu Ananya. Thank you, Ravati Valla Prabhu. Bhaktiyatu Ananya Sakya Aham Eva Vidharjuna. Drashtum, Jnantum Drashtum Cha Parantapa Tattvena Prabhashtum Cha Ta Parantapa. This is the verse. Bhaktiyatu Ananya Sakya. So, in the fourth chapter he says, you can understand me in Tattva, then only you will be able to overcome birth and death. And here says, how is it possible? How you can understand in Tattva? Bhaktiyatu Ananya Sakya Aham Eva Vidharjuna Jnantum Drashtum Cha Tattvena. The Tattva word is again comes here. That in essence we can understand Krishna if Bhaktiyatu Ananya. Previous verse says, not by jnana, not by yoga, not by dana, not by tapa. And here he says, only by bhakti actually you can understand me. So this performing of devotional service, what Prabhupada has very kindly given us, chanting, hearing, serving in so many different ways. So all these are devotional service. When the devotional service is actually performed without any motives, that enables one to know Krishna. Jnantum drushtum cha tattvena. You can know Krishna and you can see Krishna. So seeing Krishna and knowing Krishna, both simultaneously has to happen. Simultaneously has to happen. If you don't know Krishna, just see him, you will not be able to appreciate his personality in full. So it is so difficult to know Krishna, but his devotees very easily know. Like Brahma Samhita also says, Vedasu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktu. Study of Vedas is very difficult to know Krishna, but for devotees it very easily manifests. And in this particular pastime we see how Krishna has bewildered completely Brahma and then manifests very naturally to his cowherd boyfriends. So to understand how Krishna's personality is supreme is not easy. At the same time, we have to understand this through devotional service. That is the basically what I wanted to speak. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained, Kaviraj Goswami explains that how Krishna is actually the supreme personality of Godhead. Because there is so many confusion. This Narayan 400 becomes 200 form and all this. You know, in India especially we face people who say, we also had that misconception also, that how Krishna is an avatar from Narayan. And this is always the question people ask. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, second chapter of Adilila, Kaviraj Goswami very nicely explains how Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'd just like to speak this part, then we'll wind up. So from this point, we'll try to understand from Chaitanya Charitamrita how Krishna is actually the supreme personality of Godhead, not Narayan. Then rendering service without any motivations, ulterior motives, without free from jnana and karma, when one performs bhakti, he'll be able to understand. So here it is a little technical, but very nicely presented actually. So the chapter is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Basically in this chapter, Kaviraj Goswami is establishing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to establish that, he says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna. And if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as part, one of the part of the presentation establishes Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So that part we'll study. So in the sixth verse he says that impersonal Brahman, the localized Paramatma and the Personality of Godhead are three subjects. And the glowing effulgence, the partial manifestation and the original form are the three respective predicates. He is using two things. One is called subject, it is called predicate. Subject means a description of something, that is subject. And predicate means something that describes the subjects. Predicate is a description of the subject. So it says three things: Brahman, Paramatma, Brahman, localized Paramatma, and Personality of Godhead are three subjects. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan are three subjects. After the predicates is glowing effulgence, Brahman effulgence. Effulgence is the predicate of Brahman. And the partial manifestation is the predicate of Paramatma. And the original form is the predicate of Bhagavan. So that's how he is trying to establish. So why he is saying this? It will be clear later. Just try to keep this in mind. This is the like premise on which he is going to establish Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So he takes two verses. One is this Badanti Tattva Vedas Tattvam Yat Gyanam Adhyayam Brahmaiti Paramatmaiti Bhagavaniti Sabdyate. That there are three, the absolute truth, which is non-dual knowledge, is sometimes called Brahman, sometimes called Paramatma, and sometimes called Bhagavan. That's the proper translated, sometimes. So then he says essentially that Bhagavan includes everything, these two other aspects. And then he tries to establish how Krishna is that Bhagavan. So this is how it begins. Then Krishna will be the Supreme Lord, basically. There are three aspects of absolute truth. Bhagavan is the aspect which includes both Paramatma and Brahman. And that Bhagavan is Krishna. Then Krishna will be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to understand, he describes it very elaborately, but we'll just quickly jump to this aspect, where this pastime of Brahma Bhiman Lila actually reappears in this particular pages, where Brahma actually says to Krishna, after he understood what wrong he did, what mistake he did, he's offering prayers. This very chapter that we are discussing, he says, "O Lord of Lords, you are the seer of creation. You are indeed everyone's dearest life. Are you not there for my father, Narayan? Narayan refers to one whose abode is in the water, born from the Nara, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And that Narayan is your plenary portion. All your plenary portions are transcendental, they are absolute and are not creation of Maya." So after Brahma spoke like this, offended Krishna, and then often in prayers he spoke like this, then Krishna says Brahma says to him like this: "I took birth from the lotus that grew from your navel. Thus, you are both my father and my mother, and I am your son. Parents never take seriously the offense of their children. I therefore beg your pardon and ask your benedictions. So after hearing this, Krishna is saying, it's like Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Krishna spoke like this. He says, O Brahma, your father is Narayan. I am but a cowherd boy. How can you be my son? I'm just a cowherd boy, small boy, and your father is Narayan. How can I be your son? So Brahma says, are you not Narayan? You are certainly Narayan. Please listen as I state the proofs. So he's saying how Krishna is Narayan. And he says, all living beings within the material world and spiritual worlds are ultimately born of you. Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu Vangita. For you are the super soul of all of them. As the earth is the original cause and shelter of all parts made of earth, so you are the ultimate cause and shelter of all living beings. The word Nara refers to aggregate of all living beings, and the word Ayana refers to the refuse of all of them. So because Krishna, he's giving an interpretation of word Narayana. Nara means aggregate of all living beings, and Ayana means refuse of all of them. So both combined is Narayan. And because you are the ultimate center of all, like the pots are from earth, is the, you know, center of the earth is center of the pots, all earthen pots. Similarly, you are the center of everything. Therefore, that definition fits to you. Therefore, you are Narayan. Like he gives the interpretation like this. You are therefore the original Narayan. This is one reason. Please listen to the second. The direct lords of all the living beings are the Purusha incarnations, but your opulence and power are more exalted than theirs. Therefore, you are the primeval lord, the original father of everyone. The Purushas are protectors of the universes by your power. Since you protect those who are the shelters of all living beings, you are the original Narayan. In this way, it says how you are the origin of all Narayans. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, kindly hear of my third reason. There are countless universes and fathomless transcendental Vaikunthas. Both in this material world and in the transcendental world, you see all the deeds of all living beings in the past, present and future. Since you are the witness of all such deeds, you know the essence of everything. All the world exists because you oversee them. None can live, move or have their being without your supervision. So in this way, he was explaining how Krishna is actually Narayan. Not only Narayan, original Narayan, but also the source of all other Narayanas. Then Krishna says again, Krishna said, Brahma, I cannot understand what you are saying. Lord Narayan is he who sits in the hearts of all living beings and lies down in the waters of the Karana ocean. That's Narayan. That's how I know Narayan. You are saying what this, you know, referring to aggregate of living beings and ayan refers to refuge of all of them, therefore you are Narayan. Everybody knows Narayan is one who lies in the ocean, Karana ocean, and from whose navel the lotus sprouts in this and he is living in everybody's heart. That is Narayan. Then Varma says, what I have said is actually true. The same Lord Narayan who lives in the waters and in the hearts of all living beings is but a plenary portion of you. This is what happens in this chapter, in the prayers of Brahma. How Brahma is actually explaining Krishna is the source of Narayan. The same Srimad Bhagavatam. Now we hear how Narayan comes as 400 form, then becomes 200 form of Krishna. We take that part and say, and people in general argue that Krishna is an incarnation of Narayan. But here in the same Bhagavatam, it describes how Narayanas are but plenary portions of Krishna. Same Bhagavatam. So people normally don't read beyond Janmashtami. They get stuck there. Then they observe Janmashtami once a year and never go beyond that. So therefore they miss this essential point. Then Brahma says, actually what I have said is true. Everything is a plenary portion of you. Like that he goes on explaining, and then Kaviraj Goswami says, this is how we understand Krishna is actually the Supreme. Then he takes one more verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Say, like people say, people say like this. He is just quoting general people. Avatari Narayana Krishna Avatar Deha Chatur Baho Iha Manushya Akar. People say like this. Because Narayana has four hands, but Krishna has, Krishna looks just like human being with two hands. They say that Narayana is the original God, whereas Krishna is but an incarnation. Narayana has four hands, Krishna has two. So from four, two can come, but from two, four cannot come. This is their idea. A superset, subset. So this subset has the, you know, within the superset. Therefore, Krishna is coming from Narayana. This is how they argue, using logic. In this way, their arguments appear in various forms. But the poetry of the Bhagavatam expertly refutes them all. He says like this. Then he quotes this verse again, that how there are three features of the Lord. Then he says, Lord Krishna himself is the undivided absolute truth, that Bhagavan, the ultimate reality. He manifests himself in three features, as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Then he says, you consider one more shloka. Then he quotes this, another verse from Bhagavatam. Ete chamsa kalaha pumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrarivakulam loka mridayanti yuga yuge. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by elements of by the enemies of Indra. So initially when you discuss that subject and predicate, that he is going to explain here now. Please hear a little attentively. So the Bhagavatam describes symptoms of deeds of incarnation in general and counts Krishna among them. So this made Srila Suta Goswami greatly apprehensive. So Suta Goswami was very careful. Actually apprehensive means fearful in this situation. So he was using the words very cautiously while speaking about incarnation and Krishna. He did not want to point Krishna just an incarnation. It would be a great mistake. So he was very, very apprehensive, very, very careful in presenting this. So he says, all the incarnations of Godhead are plenary portions and parts of plenary portions of Purusha avatars. But the primeval Lord is Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of all incarnations. Then he says, an opponent may say, this is your interpretation of this verse. But actually, the Supreme Lord is Narayana, who is the transcendental realm. He incarnates as Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of this verse, Ete Chamsa. As I see it, there is no need for further consideration, no discussion further required. I understand it like this. So then he says very nice, you know, shloka. Tare kahe kene kara kutra kutra kanumana sastra vidhartha kabhu nahaya pramana. He says, to such misguided interpreter we may say, kutarka anumana. And logic is faulty, kutarka. Anumana means speculations. They just don't want to hear, they just speak something randomly. To them we should say, why should you suggest such fallacious logic? An interpretation is never accepted as evidence if it opposes the principles of scriptures. One may be sounding logical, 4 to 2, 2 to 4, whatever they may say. Kya char ka do ka char, something like they say. Ulta pulta, you know, turn things around. But we can say an interpretation is never accepted as evidence if it opposes the principle of scriptures. One should not state a predicate before its subjects. Now he comes to the point. For it cannot thus stand without proper support. So he says, we cannot speak about a predicate if we don't speak about subject. And he'll explain it very nicely now. I don't want to explain it because it is very nicely explained by Kaviraj Goswami himself. I'll just read and you can carefully hear. In fact, I cannot present it the way he has presented. Better to read it. He says, if I do not state a subject, I do not state a predicate. So understand, subject means something some description, and description of description is predicate, basically. Whatever it is, it's a predicate. So if I do not state a subject, I cannot speak about its description. First I'll speak the subject, then I'll speak about its description. So if I do not state a subject, I do not state a predicate. First I speak the former, that is the subject, then I speak the latter, that is the predicate. The predicate of a sentence is what is unknown to the reader. Predicate is unknown. Whereas the subject is what is known to him. First we know the subject, but predicate we don't know. For example, we may say, this Vipra is a greatly learned man. Greatly learned man. So he says, in this sentence, the Vipra is the subject, right? And the predicate is the erudition, his scholarship. The man's being a Vipra is known. That we already know, he is Vipra. Because he may be wearing a thread or shaven head, something like that. So by seeing the description, we understand he is a Vipra. But whether he is learned or not, we cannot know. It has to be explained. So the subject is known, but the erudition has to be explained. Predicate has to be told. So the man's being a Vipra is known, but his erudition is unknown. Therefore, the person is identified first and his erudition later. In the same way, all these incarnations, Ete Chamsa, for example, incarnations were known, they're a subject. But whose incarnations they are, that was unknown. Then he says, the first word Ete establishes the subject, the incarnations. The plenary portions of the Purusha avatars follows the description, that is predicate. So Ete is the incarnation subject. Chamsa Kala Pumsa, Pumsa means the Purusha avatars, and Amsa, the portions of them, is the description of the incarnations. So that is about Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsa. Then Krishna is also subject. Krishna, there is a predicate for Krishna also. Then he very, 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 very carefully and clearly establishes how Krishna is separate from all this. So in the same way, when Krishna was first counted among these incarnations, specific knowledge about him was still unknown. So, therefore, first the word Krishna appears as subject. Krishnastu, then followed by the predicate describing him as the original personality of God. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So this establishes that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. The original personality of Godhead is therefore necessarily Krishna. In this way, he is establishing how Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Here, Krishna has been the plenary portions of Narayan, and Narayan the primeval Lord. Had Krishna been the plenary portions, and Narayan the primeval Lord, the statement of Sutta Goswami would have been reversed. Thus, he would have said, Narayan, the source of all incarnations, is the original personality of Godhead, and he has appeared as Sri Krishna. So the verse is not saying like this. Verse is very clear. Then he adds to it. He says, mistakes, illusions, cheating and defective perception do not occur in the saying of authoritative sages. So sages, they speak very clear, truthful things. There is no ambiguity, no mistakes, and no illusion or cheating is there. And then he says, you say something contradictory and become angry when this is pointed out. Your explanation has the defect of a misplaced predicate. This is an unconsidered adjustment. Only the personality of Godhead, the source of all other divinities, is eligible to be designated Swayam Bhagavan or the Primeval Lord. So in this way, Srila Kaviraj Goswami is establishing from this verse how Krishna is actually the Supreme Lord. And by performing devotional service to him, we can actually understand and see him. So Brahmaji is speaking all these prayers, but Krishna has not spoken a single word to him. If you study the previous chapter or this chapter, Brahma does his activities and Krishna does his activities. Then Brahma sees, then Brahma understands his mistake. Then he offers prayers. But Krishna doesn't speak to him at all. There is nothing that Krishna speaks. Just silently stands there. Like Maharaj is saying, you know, pretending as if he is still looking for his calves and, you know, small coward boy, pretending to be as if he is helpless. And at that point, when he was pretending to be helpless, Brahma is offering all these beautiful and great prayers. In fact, Sukadeva Goswami says in the end, this is the kind of prayers that actually I want to always put in my heart. Regarding how Krishna is so great and I am so insignificant. Brahma is saying, I am so insignificant and so much in darkness that I am not able to appreciate you fully. And I cannot appreciate you fully. So Krishna is not speaking any single word. And Shripad Bishnu Chakra Chakur actually says that Krishna says in Gita, Ye athamam prapadyante tamstitayam bhajame. As one approaches me, I reward accordingly, I reciprocate accordingly. So if a devotee offers loving devotional service, Krishna reciprocates. And there are other categories, non-devotees, who are either indifferent, atheistic, they say Krishna doesn't exist, they don't care. There are other severe type of atheists who become enemy of Krishna, like demons, atheistic demons. So they behave towards the Lord in a very inimical way. And because they behave, then Krishna reciprocates. What Krishna does, he punishes. So demons he punishes and devotees is merciful. But there is, in this both situation, there is actually reciprocation and somebody can experience the Supreme, his presence, and later appreciate it. Even if a demon performs some devotional service, Krishna will reciprocate nicely, mercifully. But understand situation, when a devotee behaves like a offender, atheist naturally they offend, demons offend. But if a devotee offends, like the way it happened with Brahmaji, Krishna is not reciprocating at all. So Chakravarti Chakurpada says, this is the worst situation. If a master rewards being merciful, or if the master punishes the servant, then there is a reason, because of the reciprocation is there, there is a reason for the servant to continue to live and serve. But the master neglects and becomes indifferent to the servant, there is no reason for him to survive. There is no reason for him to sustain life. So here something like that is happening with Brahma. It's like the worst that can happen to a person. But then, he is saying, like previous verses we saw, he says, you are so merciful, so lotus-like eyes compared to sun and moon. Because sun removes the darkness. So that one glance, please at least give your glance to me, he says. Cast your glance. So that by glance, merciful glance, my ignorance will go. And that moon-like rays from the another eye, lotus eye, will shower mercy on me. In this way he is requesting and he is living. Krishna didn't speak a single word. But then it is explained by the acharyas, because he has to perform his duty and secondly didn't want to disturb the pastimes any further, he very quietly and respectfully lives. And then of course we know, in part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, how the same Lord Brahma, he is not satisfied with those prayers. These are beautiful prayers which even Sukadeva Goswami wants to meditate and be like that. He is not satisfied, he comes again and offers prayers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying, please, reciprocate in some way. Then he says, okay, you become my associate now. Then he becomes Brahma Haridas Thakur and becomes the Namacharya. So in this very nice pastime, so many things are happening and it's very difficult to understand what is exactly going on. But it gives us a sense that how Krishna is so great, at the same time so merciful. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you very much.